And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, as always, you can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places. And then you can listen to the podcast, get caught up with everything at investinghope.com. Also, you can find the podcast on iTunes. Some of you are going to be listening on the radio. Some are listening online at wrjz.com. Regardless of how you're listening or where you're listening, we are certainly grateful that you tuned in whenever that is and are learning more about Hope Resource Center and the work that we're doing in saving lives and seeing the Lord transform lives in that process as well. Today, as I often do, I have a guest, and the guest today, I don't know if y'all understand how blessed I am having, in my role as executive director, all the local pastors that I get to have friendships with and the local churches that we partner with at Hope Resource Center. But one of those churches is Black Oak Heights Baptist Church right here in Knoxville, and they are a great partner of Hope Resource Center. And today I'm joined by their pastor, Todd Stinnett. Todd, thank you so much for taking some time out today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so what we wanted to do today, and what we did before we went on air, is talked all about UT football, and we figured it all out, and so that was good. But we will not do that on air, as not to get letters and emails. I think that's important.
Yes, sir. Good
idea. So what we want to do is I think it's important to kind of give the listeners an understanding of Black Oak Heights. When did you start when did you take over as pastor there? Kind of the heart of Black Oak, and just tell us a little bit about your church, and then we'll get into some of the other topics that we want to cover.
Well, Black Oak's a subject I love to talk about.
I can imagine.
The church actually began in 1946, so it's got a long story tradition. It's been a great church for a long time. There's some great men who've come through that church, and one of the men that is my heroes in the faith is Dr. Jack Parrott. He was there from 1965 to 1989. Had a great 24-year ministry at the church and just laid a great foundation. That's when so much of the church's growth happened during that time. And then Dr. Mike Ramage was there for about another 14 or 15 years following that. And so they had two pastors over 40 years, and that really made for a strong, vibrant, loving, healthy mm-hmm. church. And so I've been there since August of 2015, and it's been a tremendous blessing. It's just a church that loves the Lord, loves the Word, loves to see people one to Christ, and will just do whatever it takes. You know, they don't get stuck in a certain mode of doing things. They're open to new ideas, and it's been a blessing to my soul to be their pastor for the last 2 years.
Yeah, and so as we talk about that, you're from Knoxville originally. Is that correct?
Yes.
And but you pastored a church, if I'm correct, up east of here, is that right?
I did, correct. When I left, I grew up in Knoxville. I left here in 1998 when I got married, went to seminary in North Carolina, and served my first church in North Carolina, and then pastored my first church in South Carolina for just a little over a year. Mm-hmm. And then God brought us back to Morristown in East Tennessee, and that was in February 2003. And I spent about 12 and a half years in Morristown and pastored two great churches up there. I have some of my best friends are still in the Morristown area, but God brought us here 2 years ago, and we're pumped about that.
Back home. And so as we look at that, what I'd like to get into first is the importance of, and we had a pastor's breakfast just a couple weeks ago and discussed this, but I think it's important to have this conversation with a pastor on air. Why is it important for Black Oak Heights Baptist to connect and partner with a place like Hope Resource Center and in the overarching life movement? Why is that important for the believers at Black Oak?
Well, you and I, we've had this conversation, and we just believe that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God is the God of life, all the way from the womb mm-hmm. to the tomb,
amen.
All the way through. And we believe in supporting life, the life of new little ones that are born into this world as followers of Christ, but also the mothers of these children, the parents, the support system that there's going to be around these families. We can preach and teach and say all day long, we can have our bumper stickers, we can have our mm-hmm. slogans, we can have our t-shirts, but at the end of the day, if we're not doing something to support life, then really we're just resounding brass, basically. And so we've got to put our effort, our resources where our mouth is and get out there and just help these young ladies and these families and just support life.
And what's been amazing about that is what I've loved about that is I spoke at Black Oak back in January, Sanctity of Life Sunday, and the amount of people that came up to us at the table, you know, we had post-aborted people come up to us that were in tears saying, you know, I haven't really gone through the healing process and today made me kind of reevaluate some of that. And so hopefully healing is happening there. We had other people come up and say, we didn't even know y'all were in Knoxville. We didn't know you existed, but now we do. And we want to partner. We had a ladies group come up and say, hey, we want to help out. And y'all have showed out with baby showers and decorating and feeding our patients and just providing for our moms, young moms that are coming through Hope Resource Center. And what we are able to do because of that, I'm able to look at these patients and say, hey, this isn't just Hope loving on you, but there are hundreds and thousands of strangers in this city that care deeply about you, and they've never met you and may never meet you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about the partnership of the local church and the and let's be honest, who should be driving the life movement? It should be the local evangelical church, in my opinion. And there was early on, after Roe v. Wade happened, some of the evangelicals struggled with that and didn't pick up the ball, which is why the Catholic Church did and others. But now what we're seeing is an amazing fruit from the Southern Baptist Convention and other denominations saying, look, this is that was a black eye on us for a while, but now we're going to pick this up and we're going to carry it. And from my conversations in my meetings with local church and the pastors in this city, it's been such a breath of fresh air to see pastors saying, look, I'm absolutely pro-life. I'm going to vote that way. I'm going to put the bumper sticker. I'm going to do all that. But that's not enough. And it really has been amazing to watch many pastors and churches come along and say, yeah, we want to do something. What can we do? And what as the pastor, what have you seen and kind of what stories have been told to you and what have you seen in your people that have been able to be engaged in the work at Hope Resource Center?
You know, I guess we probably met one another about a year ago, over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I found out about Hope Resource Center, of course, you got to remember, I'd been gone from Knoxville for a while, since, you know, 98. And so I really did not know what was going on for, you know, young ladies who were in distress and considering pregnancy and things of that nature. And so when I found out about Hope Resource Center, I was like, we have got to partner with these folks. We've got to do more. And so our women obviously were very excited about the opportunity. And so my wife helps coordinate our women's ministry at the church. But then I also need to give a shout out to Elisa Taylor, because she's been over there several times at Hope Resource Center.
If every local church had Elisa, man, you would be happy about that.
So she comes, she ministers to you guys, she brings things that are donated by the church, and then she comes back to us and she tells us what's going on at Hope Resource Center. I can remember on a Wednesday night just 2 weeks ago, she said, our church has given 8 little pack-and-plays to the Hope Resource Center, 4 by one Sunday school class and then several others by some other individuals. And so, you know, it's just little things like that. When you get people started with just smaller projects like that, then it just builds and builds and builds. And so already we've got plans as a church of what we're going to do even more to try and get more resources poured towards Hope Resource Center. So it's just all very exciting to us.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times when we talk about partnership, and that's why I focus so much on partnership, because it goes both ways. And for us, we want to provide the opportunity for the local church to come in and do what the local church is supposed to do, get the gospel to these folks and show them the love of Christ and tell them about the love of Christ. And so from our standpoint, it's amazing. I think so many people hear me when I say, hey, let's go sit down and have coffee, let's go sit down and have lunch, and they're like, oh no, he's going to ask me for money again, and that's certainly part of what I do, but that's not the motivation of what I do. What we want to do is come alongside the local church and say, hey, these are opportunities right here in your backyard where you can make a huge, lasting, eternal impact on men and women of this city and babies of this city. And what we have seen from that is we're able to see and witness firsthand believers within the local church going, well, I never thought I could make a difference, and now I'm making a very tangible, real difference.
Absolutely.
So what we were able to see is this year there are going to be babies that celebrate Christmas for the first time because of people at Black Oak. You know, and that's huge. That this year, a mom is going to be able to look down and kiss her child. because Black Oak partnered with Hope Resource Center. And and it's those real life stories. Those aren't made up stories. Those are real life stories where the impact of the local church, either financially or donating of their time or their prayers, is making eternal impacts in the lives of strangers. And if that's not the gospel, then I don't know what is.
Absolutely. You know, when you look at Jesus over and over and over again, you know, there's a great model in Matthew chapter 9. It says he went about to every town preaching the kingdom, you know, giving that teaching. But at the same time, he was healing people. He was meeting needs. And as he would heal blind eyes, as he would open deaf ears, as he would open up those mute mouths and those withered hands, healing them, making them whole again, all those things he did opened someone's heart to the greatest need that they've got. And that's a need for a Savior. And so if we're going to do it like Jesus did, we are going to meet everyday, tangible, physical, material needs. And then somebody will say, why are you doing this? Why do you love me like this? I'm sure, Andrew, you see young ladies who come in every day and say, nobody loves me like this. There's got to be a catch. You know, it just thrills my soul to know that there are women who walk into your office, and probably if somebody doesn't intervene the next day, they're going to hit the abortion clinic, and they are going to do what they can to get rid of that life that is growing inside of them. And so just to know that we can come alongside, meet a real need, partner with your ministry, and just say, hey, we're going to give whatever it takes. We're going to do whatever it takes to make sure, do all that we can, that that young lady walks out saying, I'm not going to get rid of this life. I'm going to have this child, and I'm going to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we can be involved in that, like you said, it's gospel work.
Yeah, and that's what, that's at times, and I know I sound like a broken record if you listen to this show every week, but we have turned the abortion issue into a political issue. Now, certainly that's part of it, but it's first and foremost the gospel issue, which is why I said the evangelical church needs to be leading the way in that. We are gospel people. And so if we're not leading the way in the life ethic from womb to the tomb, when it comes to doctor-assisted suicide, when it comes to abortion, when it comes to terminal illness and what's going on there, or the elderly and death panels, what are we doing about that? Is a rationing of healthcare? You know, those type things. If we're not intervening as gospel people, not just by voting, but by saying, look, this isn't okay, and here's why it's not okay, and here's where we're going to step out and support these organizations and these parachurch ministries, then we're not doing gospel work. And so what I love about what y'all do and what we're going to talk about here in a second, the loving of the least of these, or what society would say, the broken and the unlovable, and what y'all have shown at Black Oak and what other local churches are showing is, look, we can do the Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday thing all the time, in which we celebrate and do. But doing that alone is not enough. And so so you have the Princess Project, and you have A Night to Shine with the Tebow Foundation that we're going to talk about here in a second. And you have partnerships with places like Hope Resource Center to say the gospel is the driver in all of that. And so we want to see heart change, and we believe that the Lord makes dead people alive people. And so what we have to do is then use the gospel as in all that we have to get the gospel to these people. And it's an amazing thing. And we're going to talk more when we come back. So today we are joined by Todd Stinnett, pastor of Black Oak Heights Baptist Church, and certainly grateful for you listening to us today. InvestingHope.com, you can learn more about Hope. Also have this on podcast later on in the week. You can find that on iTunes and the website as well. So as we were talking off air, we were talking about something that went on at Black Oak Heights a few months ago called the Princess Project. So for those that are listening and aren't familiar with what the Princess Project was, talk a little bit about how that came about and the impact that it had on our city.
Absolutely. So my sister-in-law, Lindsay Maple, she owned a salon in West Knoxville. And I knew that she had been helping some young ladies privately, not making a big fuss about it, just trying to make sure they had hair and nails and makeup and get them a dress, just whatever they needed to try and give them a great time for their prom, for their high school prom. And so I called her one day. It just dawned on me. I think it was just maybe the Holy Spirit just said to me, you know, why don't you think about doing this on a larger scale? And so I called her and said, don't you think that we could assist many more young ladies than just the few that you've been helping at the salon? And she said, well, yeah, I think we could give it a try. And so one thing led to another. We started having conversations. We reached out to Lori Tucker at WATE. She was phenomenal. When Lori got involved, she came to Powell High School. She talked to the young ladies, and immediately they were ready to go. And so the young ladies started signing up. And so what we did to the Princess Project, once we got their information, and the administration at Powell High School, Chad Smith and all the folks there just did a wonderful job helping us. And so when we got the young ladies' information, we would do everything we could to get them a dress. We had well over 100 prom dresses donated to the church, and we still have a good inventory, so we're going to be able to do that again in the coming year. But we got them hair, nails, makeup, just met a lot of tangible needs that they had, and just did it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, there were some young ladies who came in and told us, had you not done this, I could not have gone to my prom. Some ladies decided at the last minute, because they didn't find out about us, and they found out at the last minute, there's an opportunity, these people will help me. And when they found out, then they were able to go to prom. And so, you know, there again, just what a way for us to be able to share the love of Jesus with these young ladies. And some of them maybe have not felt that love before.
Sure.
And now that they've had a great experience in the church, they know that church is a safe place for them to go and have their needs met. So it was just a blessing for us to do that.
And since doing that, what have you seen? What did that do for your people? You know, kind of like you're talking about the partnership that you have with Hope Resource Center and what it's done for your people. But I think it's important as a pastor and for the folks listening to see that when these things occur within the church, from a pastor standpoint, the goal there is I want to get my people engaged. That's absolutely the whole point of shepherding your people, is get them engaged in the city. So by doing the Princess Project, what kind of difference did that make, not just for the young ladies, but what kind of difference did that make for your people as well?
Well, of course, it just puts us to work. You know, we can talk about the Great Commission all day long, but until we get up and start doing something about it. But when God's people do, when they lock arms and they just make their mind up, you know, like in the days of Nehemiah, the Bible said the people had a mind to work. And so because they had a mind to work and rebuild the wall, it happened at rapid speed. And so, you know, our folks got up. They were able to make donations. Sometimes it was clothing donations. It might have been a makeup donation. It might have been a monetary donation. You know, that was the beauty of it. Every financial need that we had with the Princess Project was provided by those who just God laid it on their heart to meet that need. Some people donated their labor, their time. So when you have a project that big, there is so much opportunity to serve. So many people who may have never thought, well, I can't do anything. I can't get up there and preach, or I can't go to the mission field,
right,
or I can't teach that Sunday school class. This gives them something where anybody that wants to help and do something in the name of Jesus can get up and be a part of this project. So it was a very galvanizing, almost like a revival experience for our church.
Well, and what I love about it is I believe it was Martin Luther, that somebody came up to Martin Luther and said, you know, I think I'm going to quit my job and go into missions, ministry work. I just feel like that's what I need to do. And Martin Luther said, what do you do for a living? He says, well, I make shoes. Yeah. And Martin Luther looked at him and said, well, then you make those shoes to the glory of God. And so what that is saying is your giftings that the Lord has put in your life, whether that be you know, a salon or whatever that looks like. Maybe the Lord has blessed you to the point of your financial situation is quite amazing. And so you can give back that way. But what I love about the gospel is it allows us to see our workplaces as a ministry field. And it allows us to see the gifts that we've been given, that we can use those to His glory. And that's what the Princess Project, you know, from an outsider's perspective, with me looking in, I just kept watching it on social media and on the news and different things and going, wow, look how many people within the church of Black Oak are being able to say, well, I'm getting to use my gifts that I didn't think were true gifts for the kingdom. I'm getting to use them to impact lives of people. And some people may say, well, those are small things. You know, what's the big deal about a prom? Well, obviously you've never met a young lady that wants to go to prom. It's a huge deal.
Absolutely. And it was just such an awesome thing just to watch these girls. And this is where my sister-in-law was really good. Lindsay could just walk up to a girl and say, what dress are you going to wear? Mm-hmm. How are you going to fix your hair? And some of these girls, you know, and I guess I'm just speaking to ladies right now, but so many ladies out there just struggle with self-image issues. And, you know, for us just to be able to go to these girls and say, you are made in the image of God, and you are beautiful exactly as you are, and we're going to find a dress that works for you, and we're going to find a hairstyle. We're going to find all that stuff that works for you. I could just tell when I was watching her interact with ladies, young ladies, that some of these young ladies had never had anybody tell them, you know what, we love you and God loves you just the way you are.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of an impact. And so I have two daughters and a son, and then I have another daughter on the way. And so with my son, I'm always looking at, he's six, and I'm always telling you, I'm proud of you. I'm really proud of the work, you know, what you're doing at school, and trying to encourage. And with my daughters, I'm always looking at my youngest is about 18 months, and so there's not a lot of conversation going on with her. But my four-year-old girl, her name's Summer, and I'm always saying, you're my favorite, Summer. And looking at her saying, you're so pretty, and not because she has a pretty dress on, not because she's all dolled up, so to say, but simply because she was made by a creator. And so, but those are things that I think we take for granted. At times we assume that every little girl had a daddy that said that to her.
And here's the point, Andrew. I think the reason that a lot of young ladies wind up at your doorstep is because nobody ever told them, as a young lady, you are of great value. Yep. You are beautiful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever told them that as young ladies. You know, in ministry, I've had the opportunity to counsel with a lot of folks, and I counsel with folks, especially ladies, who may not have had the best relationship with their dads. And so they just go out seeking that approval, that affection. But our daughters especially need us to be men of God and let our daughters know that they're amazing, just like they are, and that we're blessed that God has put them in our care.
Yeah, it's such a, you know, we see patients at Hope, and as I'm watching them at the baby shower, as I'm watching them through different things, and I can see how blown away they are at the love that they're receiving. Mm-hmm. And at times when I pray over them, how they're just really, that doesn't make any sense to them, that a man would pray over them, that a man would say, you have value, that a man would say, simply because you were created in the image of God, you are valuable. Not because of something that you're producing, not because of something that you can give me, but simply because you are.
Absolutely.
And we take for granted. And then I go home and I look at my little girls and I'm like, wow, you know, I need to take advantage of these moments now so that one day they're not looking for that self-worth somewhere else. And it is important, dads. You're listening out there, and maybe you're listening and going, wow, I wish I would have done more. We'll start today.
Amen.
It's never too late. Start today.
Right.
We're going to talk more when we come back. So today we are joined by a good friend of mine, Todd Stinnett, pastor at Black Oak Heights Baptist Church. And we've spent the day talking about, we spent the first half of the show talking about the partnership between Black Oak Heights and Hope Resource Center, and even broader than that, the local church and places like Hope Resource Center. And then we just finished up talking about the Princess Project. And before we go further, I guess let's tell people, how can people find Black Oak Heights Baptist Church? And maybe hear the messages on Sunday as well.
Well, we're very blessed. We have a lot of good resources available. You know, everybody's on the internet these days, so go www.bohbc.org. Mm-hmm. That stands for Black Oak Heights Baptist Church. You can find us there online. Carrie Hodges, our administrative secretary, just recently revamped that website, so we're very excited about it. And all of the teaching is on there. Our church's television ministry comes on. It depends on what provider you have, but most people, if they're Comcast, it's Channel 4, 12:30 every Sunday, or it could be Channel 7 if you're one of the satellite providers, or if you have WOW, then you might be on Channel 10. But if you just find us, look for us on 4, 7, or 10, 12:30 every Sunday. We have an hour-long broadcast. And if you ever have a question, if you want to contact the church for any reason, you can get us at 689-5397. Our church, unfortunately, is not the easiest to find. If you're going to come by Black Oak, it's probably because you were intending to get there. But we're couched right in between Clinton Highway and I-75. Mm-hmm. And so I tell folks all the time, probably the easiest thing to do is to come up Clinton Highway. And when you pass the big Harley-Davidson dealership, take a right just past the Harley dealership at the Indian Motorcycle sign, and you'll drive about a mile and you see us down there on the left. And just a great church, great people. It was a great church before I ever got there, and so we're just blessed to be
and
there.
And the worship times are on, if you want to go to the church, the worship times on Sunday morning are?
We have a small group time at 9:15, and then we have worship at 10:30. And Sunday evenings, we come back together for worship at 6 o'clock. And then Wednesday nights, we have ministries for all ages at 6:30. And so that's the beauty of Black Oak is you may be out there and you may be a senior, or you may be out there and you may be a teenager, or you may be a young parent or whatever. It doesn't matter what age you are. We have a great ministerial staff, director, support staff, and there is something for every age, every time the doors are open. So this is the kind of church where you can come and you can bring your family, and there's going to be something for everybody there.
And I will say from a, again, from an outsider's perspective, so I want to say this as not someone that attends Black Oak every Sunday, but someone that has been there for a number of different reasons. We have amazing, the Wood family, we have amazing friends that go to Black Oak. And what you will find there when you go is people are going to love you well. And you're not going to feel like, oh, no one's saying anything to me, you know. You are going to be welcomed and loved on, and it's a great opportunity to do that. Also, they have an amazing little playground for kids. It's a Noah's Ark. My kids love every time we drive by. They're like, oh, let's go play on the Ark. So your kids will love it there as well. So I highly recommend it. Give Black Oak a shot. I think you'll enjoy it. Also, the worship, the time that I spent with y'all, I joked and said it was like I attended the Gaither Vocal Hour, you know, the Gospel Hour, yeah, Homecoming Hour, and it was quite amazing. So very talented and gifted people leading
absolutely
the worship.
Yeah,
as well.
I really want to talk about my fellow ministers just quickly. Dale Stokes, he's been leading the music at Black Oak for I think 18 or 19 years. Sometimes I lose count. It's been a while, but
right.
I tell you, you know, he was a guy who was just lost as a goose in a snowstorm, and God found him. He was playing in bars and dives when God found him. But the young lady that he was dating and then finally married and has been married to for several years now, said to him, "Buddy, if you're going to go with me, you got to get in church." And so he heard the gospel. He gave his life to Christ. And so all that talent that God was breeding in him through all that early life and all that playing in other places, now he uses that for the Lord, and he does an amazing job.
He's very good, yeah.
Randy Singleton's our minister of youth, and he's the best I've ever been around. I'm telling you, he just loves kids. He builds relationship. And so if you have youth age kids, you know, middle school, high school age, they will fall in love with him in that ministry. And then we just recently brought on a children's minister, Jesse Holden, is doing a great job just loving our kids and trying to raise that next generation the right way, laying the right foundation early on in these kids' lives. And I could just go on and on about our directors and our support staff and everybody else. I have the time today to mention them all, but we've been blessed with some great people.
And it's a great thing that I think at times we, even as Christians, at times we spend too much time attacking the local church. Well, if the local church would just do this, or if the, and I try my hardest every week on this show not to be that guy of saying, well, if the local church would just do this, abortion wouldn't exist.
Right.
Because what we know is Genesis 3 happened. And so so it fractured everything, and we live in a broken world, a broken society full of broken people. So what that means is pastors and leaders of our churches are broken people in need of a Savior. And so it's amazing that God called broken people to carry the greatest message this world's ever seen. But that's the model that he wanted to put in place, and so we trust him for that. And so what I try to do, what I hope that I do, is celebrate the local church and the impact that y'all are having on this city and the impact that you're having for the kingdom. And so one of the ways you're having an impact is not just by partnering with places like Hope or other organizations or the Princess Project, but coming up in February, you're going to be A Night to Shine, which is the Tebow Foundation. I know we're, if you're listening locally, you're in Knoxville and you're going, Tim Tebow, I didn't like him when he played for the Gators, but now I think if we did a poll, I think he could probably run for president and win. Him and Peyton Manning, you know, could easily run together, and I think they'd be okay. But what Tim Tebow does with the Tebow Foundation is truly loving the least of these.
Yes.
And so talk a little bit about how you got connected with that.
Well, you know, I was really very unfamiliar with, of course, I've known Tim Tebow ever since the days he was beating us at Florida, but I really didn't know much about his foundation. But we have a young lady in our church, a great young lady named Rebecca Jenkins, and she came to me one day and said, Pastor, God's really laid this on my heart, and I don't know if we would even qualify for it, but I'd really like to see if we could host a Night to Shine. And I said, well, tell me about it. She said, well, it's like a prom style event for special needs folks that are 14 and up. And basically what you do is you literally, we're going to roll out a red carpet and we're going to have folks taking pictures. Mm-hmm. We're going to have food. We're going to have DJ. My buddy, Jonathan Unthank from 106.9 is going to be there. He's a great friend of mine. We were high school classmates. Yep. And so he's going to be there. He's going to DJ. And so basically what we're going to do is we're just going to bring these folks in and just let them know, just like with the ladies in the Princess Project, you are beautiful. You are wonderful just the way you are. And God loves you supremely, and just show them the love of the Lord, show their families the love of the Lord. One of the things I'm excited about that we've talked about is, you know, parents are going to come and they're going to bring mm-hmm. kids. We're going to let some of those parents leave and go out and have some time for themselves, because, you know, the folks who are just the lovers and the caretakers for these young people, it's difficult, we know, for them from time sure. to time. And so this is just one of those projects. I'm so glad that God laid it on Rebecca's heart, because, as you said, we're just trying to love on the least of these, yeah. and it's an amazing thing.
Well, and the great thing, some of you may be listening going, hold on, I thought I was tuning into a show that was only going to talk about abortion and life issues, and why are you talking about the Princess Project? Why are you talking about A Night to Shine? Well, let me tell you a little secret. If you haven't listened for a while, this is the secret. Okay, if we are going to claim to be pro-life, well, that certainly includes the baby in the womb, but it also includes those that society, in a way, has aborted, by, you know, those with special needs who are under attack a lot of times. If, you know, folks around the world now, they're trying to eliminate those that have Down syndrome. And the way they're doing that is aborting them, so not even giving them an opportunity at life. And those that, if you look across the board, what we've seen is societies that, when they get into that mode of going anti-life, the ones they attack first are those with special needs.
And you know what's amazing about that is, you know, I went to the University of Tennessee, and I did receive a great education there, but I was also introduced to a lot of other worldviews. Mm-hmm. And you meet a lot of people there who just say, well, you know, we all evolved here. There was a Big Bang sure. 13.8 billion years ago. And, you know, evolution is built on survival of the fittest. And I think to myself, do people really believe that? Because, you know, those from a purely pragmatic point of view would say, well, those with special needs, they aren't the fittest among us. And so why don't we just annihilate them? Mm-hmm. Why don't we just get rid of them? And so I try to confront people with that worldview and say, do you honestly believe that we just need to get rid of these people? Well, they would never say that.
Sure.
But as you've already said, there's this whole emphasis in our culture now to say, well, you can abort babies, and if somebody is reaching the end of their life and we don't think that they're valuable mm-hmm. anymore, you can just eliminate them. Or if there's a special needs person, then why don't we just let them go too? And that is so reprehensible to God.
Yeah.
He takes seriously the fact if we shed innocent blood, that was what his own people Israel were condemned for and mm-hmm. judged for in the days of Manasseh. And so we have got to seriously consider how we treat those who are the least of these.
Sure. And what I would say is if you're sitting here going, okay, well I'm pro-life, but I've always thought that meant I'm just against abortion. And this is what I want you to get a better understanding is our life ethic certainly includes the womb, but it also includes outside of the womb. And so yes. And so when we do things and when we partner with folks that are doing things like the Princess Project or A Night to Shine or fill in the blank, a number of different things where you're visiting nursing homes or you're going and helping those that are in poverty, whatever that looks like, what we're doing and what we're ultimately showing is human beings have intrinsic value. Well, why do they have intrinsic value? Because they were created by a creator. If they weren't created by a creator, if there's not a creator, if there's not an author, then no one has value. And so if they have value intrinsically, the only reason why they should have value is because they were created by what we would say, the author of everything.
And since you talked about the creator, you know, Colossians 1 says that it's through Christ that all things have been made and all things have been sustained. So let's talk about Jesus for
sure.
a minute. Who did Jesus go to? He went to the leper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He went to the harlot. He went to the tax collector. He went to all of those that had been cast aside by society and loved them right where they were. And so if we're going to be like our Savior, if we're going to be Christ followers, we're going to go to those who have been the outcast of society and just love them with the love of the Lord.
And the beautiful picture of that, not just because it's from the Word and it's true, but the beautiful picture of that is if you want to see the outcast, if you want to see the broken, look in a mirror. And so the reason we do that is because our Savior did that for us.
Absolutely.
And so because of that love, we then can walk and go, okay, I'm going to love my neighbor more today than I did yesterday. I'm going to love my spouse more today than I did yesterday. I'm going to, I have the greatest news the earth has ever seen, and I need to tell people about that. And that's what I love about Todd, and that's what I love about Black Oak Heights, is they take that serious. It's not just a slogan. It is serious stuff, because salvation is serious stuff, and we'll talk more in a sec. Another great show about to wrap up with Pastor Todd Stinnett from Black Oak Heights Baptist Church. As we finish up today, again, we want to let you know how you can find out more about Black Oak Heights Baptist Church, which you can online. Their website is
bohbc.org. That just stands for Black Oak Heights Baptist Church, and you'll find all sorts of information there on the website. We actually have an app, but it's being redesigned currently, but people can go ahead and find our app in the App Store or wherever they are on Google Play or wherever that is, and reach out to the church. Contact us, 689-5397. We have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Everybody can find us on social media right there on Facebook and follow us there, and you can stay in tune with what's happening at Black Oak Heights.
Yeah, and so I would encourage you to do that. Even if you're listening, you're saying, well, I'm a member of another church. I think it's important that as believers, we recognize the work that local churches, plural, are doing within our city.
Yes.
And so if there's ways, even if you're a member of another church, if there's a way, maybe you're listening, you're going, wow, my kid would love the Night to Shine, or I would love to serve at the Night to Shine, or I would love to learn more about the Night to Shine, or I would love to, how can our church partner with the Princess Project? If there's opportunities out there, wouldn't it be crazy for Christians to work together in certain areas?
Yeah.
And so I would encourage you to look into some of those things and learn more about what's going on at Black Oak Heights Baptist Church. And if you're listening today and you're just wondering, wow, that's, y'all laid out a lot of information, and I thought I was pro-life listening to this, and now I know I'm pro-life, but man, y'all threw a lot at me as far as what pro-life means. What I would encourage you to do is go back and just listen to some of the podcasts at investinghope.com. When we talk about being pro-life, it is more than, as Ty was saying earlier, as I've said in the past, it's more than a bumper sticker, it's more than a vote, it's more than politics. It is a gospel issue that should drive our everyday interactions with people, because if we believe that people were created in the image of God, then how you interact with the person at the gas station should show that. How you take the gospel to the nations, even within our city, should show that. And so I think it's important that we see that as a life ethic, and then ask some questions of ourselves. What does that mean? Does it mean I'm anti-abortion? Does it mean I need to do more in these areas, or I need to do something. I'm not really doing anything right now. And that's where I found myself a few years ago, was, wow, I've said I was pro-life my entire life. And the Lord convicted me and said, yeah, you've said it, but you haven't really done anything with it. And so as Christians, we need to be people that are doers. And obviously Scripture says that, but also people that are willing to stand up when at times, it's hard to stand up for certain issues and for certain people. And so if you want to partner with us at Hope, you can find us, of course, investinghope.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. Would love to chat if you have questions, or if you want to, hey, we'd love to help out with baby showers or something like that. We would love to partner with you. So as we finish up, we have, two or three minutes left, Todd. What is something that, as the pastor of Black Oak Heights Baptist Church, what is a good word that you would like to leave the listeners with today?
Well, I think we've covered a lot of great topics, and I just want to continue to encourage every listener to make sure that you thoroughly study the Word of God. Because if you study the Word of God, you will know exactly what God thinks about life from womb to the tomb. And I think I also want to make a plea today to my fellow pastors and to other church leaders, who many of us, our church right now is currently going through the budget process. Mm-hmm. And we're having probably, I think, maybe another meeting tomorrow night about that. But as that continues to come together, you begin to make these value judgments. What needs to be increased? What needs to be decreased? What can go? What can stay? We start making all these decisions. And so what we have had to do as a church recently is say, you know what? We're doing some good things, but we're not doing as much as we can do. And so we've had to search our hearts and say, we're going to get more in our budget to make sure that we're standing with Hope Resource Center. We're standing on the side of life. We're going to assist these young ladies, many of whom may be in distress when they walk through the doors of this ministry. So I guess I'm just making a plea to pastors out there. We can't just say it. We've got to live it. We've got to put our money, our resources, our time, our talents where our mouth is. And so if we'll all work together as a body of Christ and be that evangelical presence that you were talking about, I'm just telling you, only eternity will be able to tell the story of what will be done.
And, it's such a an amazing thing that we get to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have you who were born and raised in Knoxville. You have me who was born and raised on a dairy farm in the middle of nowhere, Middle Tennessee. But the Lord saw fit to make our paths cross. The Lord saw fit to take you to the Carolinas, back to Morristown, now back to Knoxville. And what we trust in all of that is that there was a purpose and a plan for that. And maybe that purpose and plan is that we would see the city of Knoxville completely transformed. And only the Lord can bring about revival, and we believe that He will. And so let's partner in that as we do all of these things and work with and love on the least of these. What it all comes down to, the common denominator, is we have a gospel that brings dead men alive. And that is news that we must share with people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in all of our doing, and we need to be doing more. That's absolutely been our call throughout this broadcast, is do more, do more, do more. But at the same time, in all of our doing, we don't need to forget to spend that special time with the Lord to be people of prayer, because prayer is where the victories are going to be won.
Amen. Well, Ty, thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you soon, and we'll be back here, as always, next week. Thanks for listening.
Down the valley of forgiveness, salvation's waiting there.